The College Experience Week 13 DFS College Football lineup on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is presented by MyBookie.ag. The MyBookie Turkey Day free play is back this Thanksgiving. That's right, up to a $250 free bet on that Texans Lions game exclusively at MyBookie.ag, promo code SGP. We're also brought to you by Thrive Fantasy. Thrive Fantasy is a new daily fantasy sports app built specifically for player props. Download the app in the App Store and use the promo code SGP for an instant deposit match up to $50. That's thrivefantasy.com, promo code SGP. Sign up and prop up today. We're also brought to you by Ace Per Head. Ace is the leader in paperhead providers, and they make it super easy for you to start your own sports book. Plus, Ace is offering up to 6 weeks free over at aceperhead.com/SGP. That's aceperhead.com/SGP. Welcome to the College Experience Week 13 DFS lineups. My name is Colby Swinging Dantabase Dan, aka Pick Dundee. That's not a pick. This is a pick. And we are picking the Week 13 slate of college football action. It's fantastic. I got a feeling I think I liked that Saturday morning lineup, but of course it's the DFS show. So that means I bring in the DFS God himself. Yes, he writes plenty of great articles about it over at sportsgamblingpodcast.com. Give it up for the rooftop IPA drinking, homebrew making, tobacco road living, the free lock given, former Herndon Basketball League MVP. Give it up for NC Nick in the place to be.
What's up, man? How we doing? Happy turkey time.
Yeah, happy. is that how they say it in North Carolina? Happy turkey time, guys.
Sure, why not? I don't know, it just sounded right. Happy turkey day, happy Thanksgiving, happy turkey time, gobble gobble, whatever, man.
You got any stuffing going on? Because look, I'll be honest, that's the best part about Thanksgiving besides the slew of sports that we have on every Thanksgiving or Black Friday and that whole lineup, but it's the stuffing, man. I'm a stuffing and mashed potatoes guy.
Well, I mean, the college basketball, college football and NFL that's taking the cake, you know? Yeah. Stuffing's okay. We're not doing stuffing over here this year.
The hell's this going on
year,
over there?
Since we're keeping it just within the immediate family, very small gathering, we're doing steak, no turkey. I'm grilling up some steaks, man. What you got on that?
Well, I mean, it's better than soy boy Ryan Kramer, but I mean, at the same time, just no stuffing. What are you going to have? Anything traditional over there besides what?
Mashed potatoes, green bean casserole. That's it.
Okay.
And lots of alcohol.
Okay. Yeah. Well, the alcohol is the big part there. The alcohol can basically wash down any bad decisions you make. Sometimes I know you're a sweet potato guy and you go sweet potatoes over mashed potatoes, which is just completely fucked up.
Yes, sir. Sweet potatoes all day long. Give me those yams.
That's a fucking crime. All right, let's talk DFS. By the way, great slate of basketball. Our DFS picks. I actually think I was going to win the DFS college basketball. I had my forward for UCLA played. We had no intel that he wasn't going to play.
Well, you might have thought you were going to win, but I know I won. So I took home the crown, the first ever, you know, college experience, college basketball DFS contest, mostly because I had two players in that Georgia State, Georgia Tech game that went four overtime. So that's that almost got me like an extra couple games. So that helped.
Well, dude, I mean, that's true. At the time that game wasn't in overtime, but I'm looking and I'm like, okay, you had like I think a 12 point lead on me, but I had two more players than you. So I'm like, now I think that Georgia State game was still going on at the time. So I'm sure that added in, I had one player on Georgia State, but I'm sitting there like, I got to get this because I'm like, he has most of his players that have already played. So I just figured it was a no brainer here. So, you got lucky. All right. savor the flavor. All right. Cause you're not going to get another one past me. All right. Now let's talk.
Luck had nothing to do with it. And I'll prove it to you again here in college football.
Four DFS. Overtimes is the definition of luck, my friend. yeah,
but I knew that was going to be a close game. I knew it had potential to, you know, for some free basketball. It gave us some free basketball.
This guy's full of shit, guys. Don't listen to his nonsense. All right, let's just hop right in. What's great about this slate that we have here is on Black Friday, we get a ton of college football and college basketball action. So this is a college football DFS show. So if you want those college basketball things, you're more than welcome to play DraftKings with us in college basketball. We even got a slate going today. I imagine we'll have one going tomorrow and Saturday and perhaps Sunday as well. But
that's right.
You can find it all on our Twitter accounts and also sportsgamblingpodcast.com. So check that out if you want to play college basketball with us. This is the college football show, though. So let's go into the Friday slate. I like my Friday slate. I love my Saturday morning slate, and I absolutely hate the Saturday night slate.
You know, I'm kind of there with you. I thought my favorite slate was also Saturday afternoon. I like the Friday, because especially this Friday when we have more games to choose from. Usually you get, you know, two or three games. So we got, you know, I don't know, it's eight games or, you know, something like that, 10 games. But yeah, Saturday night, it seemed tough to cobble it together. And I wasn't as confident as I usually am, which, hey, sometimes that's a good sign. Sometimes, you know, those lineups you put together and you're not sure of, sometimes they end up, you know, winning cash for you. So who knows, man? But yeah, let's start off with Friday. My quarterback, I'll just hit the ground running here. I'm going to go Brock Purdy for 6.7K for Iowa State Cyclones playing Texas. What do you think about that? Who you got?
You know, well, I do like that because Texas's defense has been trash all year. And I do think Iowa State is, you know, they have something to play for there and show the world that they are, or the country, that they're going to be in the Big 12 championship essentially. So, I like that play, but I actually went cheaper than you. And I think there's great value in this guy. And I'm going with Cal's Chase Garbers. Lot of logic here. Like Cal has unfortunately been dealt a really bad hand to start this season. They had a very limited amount of practices because the city of Berkeley would not let them. Their first game got canceled because the city of Berkeley would not let them. And then, on their second game got canceled. And then on a whim, I think on a late Friday afternoon around 5-6 PM, they found out they were going to play UCLA Sunday morning. Garbers was horrible in that game, but once again, they were behind the curve more than any team in the Pac-12. They also had a ton of opt-outs, if you want to add in that also, but then last week at Oregon State in a game that we locked up on Oregon State, or I did at least, Oregon State got the win, but Cal Garbers found who he was the year before. He's a good quarterback, 28 of 42, 315 yards, three touchdowns. Now he did throw two picks, so hopefully he improves on that. But here's one thing I do know. Colorado was starting a safety at quarterback and he looked amazing against Stanford, right? I think Stanford, I understand it's a rivalry game. I don't think Stanford's very good. I actually think Cal's a much better team than they've represented so far. Stanford, I can't say the same for. I think Cal's going to have a great day against Stanford. That's why, one of the reasons why I'm locking up Cal to beat Stanford. Get Garbers at 6,300, I think's a steal.
Yeah, I like the bargain play. A couple more things on Purdy before we move on to our running back. So Purdy has two games in a row now where he's tossed three touchdowns in each. He's quietly scoring about 25 to 30 fantasy points pretty much every game. And last year against Texas, he threw for over 350. Yeah, you know, I've been taking quarterbacks on whoever's playing Texas almost every week, and usually they do pretty well for me. And that Cyclone offense is just rolling, man. With Breece Hall at running back, it is opening up. You know, they're most of the defenses are loading the box, and it's just opening up lots of passing lanes for Purdy. So, you're more in tune with the Pac-12 than I am. So I'll take your word on the Cal QB, but I feel pretty good about Purdy.
Yeah, I think it's a solid option there. I thought about going Purdy. So, I mean, I just thought Garbers is a steal, and I think the market hasn't caught up to where he's at. I actually think, and with everything with Cal, really, I mean, I know they had a ton of opt-outs, but I think they're, I think they're much better than Stanford. And I think Stanford's weakness, I mean, if Colorado's safety was doing that to them, I would think Garbers, who was impressive last year, could do the same, if not more.
Right on. Yeah. Right on. I like both plays. All right, let me hit you with both my running backs, because I did something rarely seen. You've done it. Actually, you've done it a couple of times this year with the UNC running backs, but I'm taking both of the Golden Knight running backs from Central Florida, both Greg McRae and Otis Anderson, you know, and the main reason is that they're playing South Florida, and South Florida is an awful football team, and UCF should be able to do whatever they want on the offensive side, but also the price points, you know, 5.3K and 4.9K. So I'm not tying up a whole lot of money in my running backs. And, you know, last year UCF ran for over 230 yards on South Florida. I think they might be able to do more this year. So I think both of these guys can have nice games for relatively cheap prices.
That's hilarious, because I had both of them in there and I removed Anderson last second, but I still have McRae at the flex. But I had both in there for majority of that.
Okay.
And then I had extra money, so I took Anderson out to go spend the extra money, essentially.
Well, who'd you spend that extra money on? Let me hit me with it.
I went with Tyler Goodson. I know that Sargent, I told you that Sargent had a, you know, it's confusing because they run two backs essentially. And I remember last year Sargent was the man. Well, Goodson had 78 yards of a touchdown against Penn State, so it wasn't horrible.
Right.
But Sargent kind of went off. But now they play Nebraska, and Nebraska really struggles in the run defense side of things. So I think and it's in Iowa. I'm going to go with Tyler Goodson at 6,400.
I like it. I rostered him the last 2 weeks and he did well for me both weeks. You know, yeah, I guess the one concern was that Sargent did get more carries than I thought he would last week. But against Nebraska, you know, they both could have good games as well.
Well, wait, I was trying to go. I was trying to go. Wait, I couldn't get. Yeah. I was trying to go Michael Carter, and I still might actually, because he's only 200 more. So if I were to somehow switch, nah, give me Goodson though. My second running back is Kyren Williams, and I told you my flex is McRae, but Kyren Williams, my logic here is Notre Dame is, I understand they're out two offensive linemen, including their center. Ian Book is I don't want to take anything away from him. He played great against Clemson, but I do think there's limitations to his game. I also think that Notre Dame does not have an elite wide receiver core. Now they do have a really good tight end, two tight ends actually. And they're going to, I know this, they're going to need to score points to win this game, because North Carolina's offense is too dynamic. So if I'm Brian Kelly devising a plan here, I'm thinking you got to use the clock to your advantage. You got to stay heavy on the ground. Kyren Williams is also one of Ian Book's top targets out of the backfield. So I think it's just a no brainer. Kyren Williams in this spot.
Yeah, I like it. I mean, I think he's gonna have a big game. You know, you, like you said, UNC, their offense is dynamite. Their defense is not, and that's gonna be a pretty high scoring game there. So what's interesting about Kyren Williams is that for my flex spot, I actually had enough money. So I've $400 not spent on this slate. So for my flex spot, I was debating Kyren Williams and Xavien Valade, the running back for Wyoming. I actually had enough money to roster Williams there. I chose Valade instead. Basically, I'm fading UNLV. That's who Wyoming plays this weekend. Valade's been a beast all year, man. He's running. He's over 100 yards, I think.
He was on your fantasy team last year in their season-long fantasy.
That's right. Yeah, he did me well. So the guy's going to get at least 25 carries. You know, he's by far and away the main running back for the Cowboys. Last two games, 147 yards against Colorado State, 163 yards against Hawaii.
And he gets some catches too.
Yeah, man. He scored two touchdowns last year against UNLV. I expect another big game. It was a close, tight call between him and Kyren Williams. Certainly if you prefer Williams, I'm not going to argue that, because I expect another good game out of him. But yeah, I want Valade.
I just think that Kyren, I like the Valade play too. I almost went with him too, but I just think Kyren Williams isn't, like, I don't understand how Brian Kelly could game plan without utilizing him to the fullest, because you're down two offensive linemen and pass protection. That means Ian Book's going to have less time. North Carolina hasn't had both their corners back in over 6 or 7 weeks. They're bringing Storm Duck back, who's going to be in the NFL, and their other corner. I just think and Notre Dame's receivers aren't very elite. I think if anything, I think the tight end and the running back spots for Notre Dame are going to be completely like utilized. That's the game plan. I think if I'm Kelly, is just let's control the clock. Let's go some play action. The tight ends that I have two tight ends that probably that Notre Dame, that North Carolina won't be able to take advantage of, because let's be honest, they are weak at wideout. They have been. That's been the knock against them all year. That's why Duke was able to play with them. So that's my look there. At wideout, what are you going?
All right, I want to, so my most expensive wideout is only 5.7K. I'm assuming you also have him because he helped you win. That, you know, almost 10K. You had to settle for, I think, $280 a couple of weeks ago. But that is Daz Newsome with the Tar Heels. His price point has jumped up a little bit.
But not really.
Not really. I mean, you know, I think he was under 5K 2 weeks ago when UNC last played. So he went up about a grand or maybe $800. So at 5.7, though, Daz Newsome, I mean, if you watched the game against Wake Forest, this dude's a star, man. You know, and there's no stopping this UNC offense. It's cranking. I know Notre Dame's got a good defense. They may be able to limit it a little bit, but still UNC will get theirs. And it certainly seems like Newsome will also get his.
Yeah. He's on my roster. It's a no brainer to me. And I like coming into the year, it's funny. Like Deami Brown was the guy that I actually thought was second best at wideout. Deami Brown then has a red hot start to the season. Everyone's thinking, you know, he might be the best. I don't know, but
he's pretty damn good too.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. But I'm saying like I knew Newsome. I don't know how he got. It seemed like he was in the doghouse for a couple of weeks, but he broke out of there and he really broke out of there. So yeah, he's on my team as well. So give me your other receiver then.
All right, so my second receiver is 5.4K. I'm going to go small school for you here. A guy at Eastern Michigan named Hassan Badoun. Here is my safe, reliable, consistent possession receiver. Two games this year, he's caught eight balls in one game, nine in the other. He's Eastern Michigan's number one receiver. I expect another consistent good game with lots of catches, lots of nice PPR points. I went Badoun for 5.4K.
I got you with a better deal if you want to save $200. All right. Same game.
Hit me with it.
Same team. Now Badoun does lead the team in receptions, but he doesn't lead it in yards. That's Tanner Canoe, right? And guess what? Tanner Canoe played high school football with the quarterback of Eastern Michigan. I'm telling you, they got a connection. I've watched, I think every snap of the Eastern Michigan season so far. Now I will say your guy Badoun, he's good, but I know that the first look for Hutchinson to me is Canoe. They have a connection. I know that on that 3rd and 10 in one of those big games, how did they end up losing that? I think they lost maybe in overtime, but the first play there was, hey, I'm going to Canoe. So apparently they played 3 years of high school football together. So my play at 5,200 is to go with the guy. Yeah, he has less receptions, but he averages 14 yards a catch and he's got a score. So give me Tanner Canoe in this game.
Not bad. I had Canoe in my one of my Mac lineups last week, and I think he found the end zone, had a nice game last week. So yeah, I think both these receivers can have a decent affair against Central Michigan. All right, my third wide receiver, I'd be shocked if you don't have this guy also. And third wide receiver, and I'm assuming he may be on your roster as well because I know you're a big fan of his. I'm going back to the Central Florida very Golden Knights. I'm going Trey Nixon. He's been hurt most of this year. Hey, the dude's a very, very talented wide receiver. First action last week, he caught five balls, kind of got his feet wet. You know, he kind of got back into the swing of things. I think Trey Nixon for only 5K could be a real steal here. Could have a nice game.
You know, I thought about going with him, but I didn't have the money.
Story of your life.
Didn't have the money. Story of my life, buddy. But I'm gonna go to one of those tight ends I'm talking about. I do like that play though. I'm gonna go with the top tight end on Notre Dame and the second leading receiver receptions wise on Notre Dame. Not Michael Mayer. Michael Mayer, Nick. 21 for 247, two scores. Guy's a beast, like I said, too. Where is their clear advantage from an offensive standpoint? It's not a wide receiver against those corners, especially with Storm Duckback. So you got to take advantage of your skill set here. And I think the tight end and the running back will be the point of emphasis for Brian Kelly. So give me Michael Mayer at the tight end spot. Just, he's actually pretty cheap, man. 3,500.
So, hey, you know, I like a good tight end. I like it.
All right.
So yeah. I gave you my flex already. So I'm on super flex. And I believe you've given me your flex as well.
Correct.
All right. My super flex, Sam Howell, quarterback, UNC, 8.7K. I mentioned this when talking about Newsome. I know Notre Dame's got a solid defense. It doesn't matter. You know, I think you've mentioned this in some of your other podcasts. Teams like UNC, like Florida, like UCF, I mean, these offenses are just so dynamic that I don't care how good the defense is, the UNC offense will get theirs. And Sam Howell's been inching up and getting more and more expensive, but he's still, I mean, at 8.7K, there was more expensive quarterbacks. So yeah, I like Howell, man. Give him to me.
Yeah, I agree. That's a good play. And another thing I think to factor in on, and I thought it's been exploited, in a couple of games, I wasn't impressed. I think the weakness of Notre Dame's defense is the secondary. So obviously they're really good on the D line, and I think they're decent at linebacker. The secondary to me is the question. I mean, you saw Clemson's quarterback though for 400 yards on them. So I think Howell will get his. I went with Dylan Gabriel at 9,200 against South Florida. I think UCF's itching to get back in there and get a win against their rivals. So I think he puts up some monster numbers against the Bulls. All right.
Hey, I'm not arguing there. I had a couple of Golden Knights, and like I said, that offense is going to roll here. So I see what you did there. Hey, before we jump into the Saturday slate, well, first, do you have an ad read?
I do. Look at this guy.
Hit us with
it. He's like a producer. I want to tell you guys that the College Experience DFS week 13 lineup is brought to you by mybookie.ag. Thanksgiving is about traditions like turducken with mashed potatoes and getting and betting with football on mybookie's Turkey Day free play. If you're listening to this, it's probably over. But mybookie's third annual Turkey Day free play returns Thanksgiving Thursday. It's your chance to bet up to $250 risk free on the early Thanksgiving Day game. Look, I understand the game's already kicked off, so you're not going to get this in. But I want to tell you that new players will get their first deposit matched halfway all the way up to $1,000 to help add even more excitement to the greatest football weekend ever. That's right. Make your first deposit, get extra cash you can use on parlays, teasers, and props all weekend long. Use the promo code SGP in order to claim your bonus and your free bet. And the best part is that's only the beginning. MyBookie has promotions all holiday weekend long. Turkey Day free play is Thanksgiving Thursday. That rolls in the Black Friday boosted odds, and they finish the holiday weekend strong with a buy one, get one free Cyber Monday Night Football. That's why at MyBookie they call football season winning season. Check it out now. No risk, all gravy, baby. Don't forget to use the promo code SGP to claim your freebies only at mybookie.ag.
Fine ad read, my friend. Fine ad read. So what I was about to mention before we jump into Saturday is we forgot our shout outs, man. So, you know, we play. We'll have all the, you know, fellow D-gens, you know, listeners. We'll send out invites to join these DraftKings contests. Feel free to jump in, have some fun, maybe win some money. Last week, Friday night, Red Jesus won. Red Jesus finally reached out to us on Twitter, so we know he is an actual person. He's not an alias of the database.
He's not a bot. Yeah, exactly. Red Jesus. Shout out to Red Jesus.
He is not a Russian bot. Well done again, Red Jesus. It seems like he's usually winning some money pretty much every week in one of these. Saturday afternoon, Mr. Scorpio, he's also a 2 or 3 time winner. He won the whole thing. I came in second. I was in the money. And Saturday night, Wolfie won. And our man YC Punks came in second. So congrats to all those guys. Well done. Try to do it again this week. All right, man, go ahead.
I'm going to start off from the top. Saturday morning slate, which I like. I like it a lot, buddy. I'm going to go to a completely undervalued player. Now I guess you will want to monitor this, but I think he's going to get the start. I'm going to go with Will Rogers from Mississippi State. You saw it last week with Mike Leach only having 48 players dress up, which he had to get permission from the NCAA and SEC. They almost beat Georgia at Georgia, and Will Rogers, true freshman quarterback, he's starting to get this offense. I mean, first off, he played in this offense in high school, so he's familiar with it. And Georgia's defense is supposed to be one of the best in the nation. Well, Rogers went 41 of 52, 336 yards and a score. Well, guess who he plays this week? It's the Egg Bowl. And one thing we know is Ole Miss's defense is trash. So give me Will Rogers at $6,000 to be my quarterback.
I like the play. He wasn't really on my radar. Now, usually I don't like to pick a quarterback and, you know, have the first comment being, I think he'll get the start this week.
Well, no, look, he started last week, but KJ Costello was out. He's questionable this week, but I think with Rogers's performance,
right,
and the offense looking the best it has since the first week of the season, I would think he's going to start.
And let's face it, Costello is in the future there. Rogers is. Yeah. So it makes sense that he gets the nod. All right. So with my starting quarterback, I only went $100 more expensive. At 6.1K, I'm going to go Pitt's quarterback, Kenny Pickett.
I had Pickett in there and I subbed him out for Rogers because I thought, I mean, I think that's a great value play because Pickett, a fifth year senior, playing a lot better, undervalued because he was not there for a bunch of weeks. And then Clemson's defense gives up. It's not as elite as people like. A lot of people think this.
Exactly.
They give up a ton of yards.
Right. They're not the Clemson defense of last year or a couple of years ago. You know, this defense will allow teams to move the ball and put up some points. And you know, ever since Kenny Pickett returned, Pitt beat Florida State 41-17 and they beat Virginia Tech 47-14. And in those games, Pickett has thrown for over 600 yards. He also has had a rushing touchdown in each of those games. And he actually has 5 rushing touchdowns in his last 4 games. So very quietly, he's going to give you some points with his legs as well. And, you know, Pitt has had some success down in Death Valley in recent years. They're actually the last ACC team to win a game there. So I think Pitt has a chance to keep this game at least close. I know Trevor Lawrence is coming back. I know Clemson has had a couple weeks off to stew about, you know, their loss to Notre Dame. But I expect a decent game here. And I think Kenny Pickett will put up some points, especially at that low price.
Yeah, I agree. I thought that, you know, I don't know if you saw those horrible, horrible, horrible playoff rankings, but I thought one of the worst things they could have done aside from their rankings was the head of the committee said, oh, we penalized BYU because they were playing Boise when they were depleted without their quarterbacks. Right. And that's fair to do that. But my problem is the lack of consistency. Because yet they have Miami at number 9, and Miami is, I think Miami has 4 wins against backup quarterbacks and a win against UAB that had like 12 players out with COVID. And also Oklahoma ahead of Iowa State, which makes no sense because Iowa State beat them on the field, has a better Big 12 record. And Iowa State, or if they're going to stay true to that logic, Oklahoma lost at home to Kansas State with like 20 players out. They were putting wide receivers at defensive back. Don't you find that ridiculous?
Look, they're going to build any argument to favor the more well-known teams. And they're going to use the flip side of that argument to, you know, against the BYUs, against the Cincinnati. So I'm not surprised one bit. It is a shame. It's a crock, you know, but it is what it is. I'm not surprised by it.
I just think if I were them, if you're going to do that, do it without an answer, because even Notre Dame's win is against Clemson without Trevor Lawrence. I mean, you could really,
at this point, we all know it though. We all know that they want the biggest name schools in there to make the most money. And that's all that matters.
Yeah. It's horrible.
And it's a shame. To have a league, you know, division, or, you know, FBS, where half of the schools don't even have a realistic chance of making a playoff and winning a championship. They should just form their own league.
Yeah.
You know, because if you don't have a chance to win a championship,
what are you doing?
What's the point?
Yeah, exactly. Right. Exactly. Right. At my running back spot, I know you mentioned Kenny Pickett, and I know it's look, I'm going to stay in that game because one thing I know, even with all the opt-outs that Pitt has, which they have a lot. And that sucks that we're not seeing Paris Ford against Trevor Lawrence and some of that defensive line. But regardless of who has opted out and who hasn't, Pitt's still got a money defensive line. You know how you neutralize a D line? You get Travis Etienne the ball on quick little screens, pitches, stuff like that. And I got Travis Etienne. I'm spending up because I think he's going to play the whole game. $8,600, Travis Etienne.
Yep, right there with you, man. I think I've said this before. My rule of thumb is whenever there's a game where Clemson is playing where I think it could be close, which means Etienne will play the whole game, I roster Travis Etienne because of his running abilities, his pass catching abilities, especially with Lawrence back now. I mean, the backup did a fine job as well, but now the offense should be where it was. And, you know, it should be the best version of this Clemson offense. So give me Travis Etienne all day.
I agree. Okay. My second running back, you know, I put this guy on my team every week that Mississippi State plays, I feel like. And that is Jaquavius Marks. Now he only had 20 yards rushing, just shy of 20 yards rushing against Georgia, but Georgia's got a good run defense, but he also only had 4 carries, but that's just the offense. He did have 6 receptions though. I think another game against Kentucky, he had like 14 receptions or 15. So I my play here at 5,100 is Jaquavius Marks.
They have another running back now there who's starting to kind of split some time with him, right?
Dylan Johnson.
Yeah. And that, you know, I mean, Marks is still the top guy, but that kind of scared me off of him. I did play him in one lineup last week. He did solid for me, but nothing great. So I did not take him. The man I did take was 6.6K, and that is Oklahoma State Cowboy Chuba Hubbard, if I can pronounce his first name right this time. You know, and I think this is a value play here because I realize Hubbard is coming off a couple down games. I realize the Cowboys are on their backup quarterback here. But you know, they play Texas Tech, and Texas Tech, their defense is abysmal, you know, they're especially against the run. So I think this is a get right game for Hubbard. And at the price point for 6.6K, I mean, a couple of weeks ago, you would have spent 2K more.
Yeah.
You know, last year against Texas Tech, Hubbard ran for 156 yards and 3 touchdowns. They're going to need to run the ball early and often with the backup quarterback in. I don't think Texas Tech can hang. So that's why I am going Hubbard as my second running back.
I like it. I like it. I thought about that option. So at the wide receiver spot. So hold on. Did you name both your running backs?
Yep.
Okay.
That was Etienne and Hubbard.
Well, at my wide receiver spot, I'm going to take you first off to a game where just one of the worst games you could probably watch this weekend. And that is in Syracuse, New York, where NC State plays at Syracuse. You see Syracuse is on their 4th string quarterback now.
So the guy that played last week did he get hurt or is he just so bad?
No, he's banged up. So they're going to their 4th string quarterback,
and their 3rd string guy. I forget his name from last week, but he did not look ready to play college football. He wasn't seeing the field at all. He was antsy in the pocket. He just looked totally unprepared and not ready to play. So if he was ahead of their 4th string guy, I feel sorry for Syracuse.
Well, I mean, it's been talk about a team that's just gotten absolutely depleted by COVID and opt outs and everything you can think of. So, I think NC State's going to have the ball a lot. Now, here's my fear is that NC State might go up so big, but it took them a while because Syracuse actually has a decent defense, especially on the run defense, I feel like. So I'm going to ride Amika Amezi. This has been my guy. 32 catches, 570 yards, 18 yards a grab, 4 touchdowns. He also has got a rush or two. Give me Amika Easy, the wide out for NC State.
I like it. I think we both had him last week too. You know, the thing with him is that he has a high floor, but he also has a relatively low ceiling. He's a steady guy. He's probably going to catch like 4 balls for 80 yards and a touchdown. At that price point, there's nothing wrong with that whatsoever. All right. So my top receiver, I'm paying up. I'm chasing what he's done the last couple of weeks. You know, if you read my college football DFS column, a week ago, I highlighted this guy as kind of my mid-tier receiver. I think at that time he was like about 6K or so. And that is Ty. I'm sorry. Yeah. Yeah. Ty Freifogel with Indiana. And if you watched Indiana play the Buckeyes last week, I mean, this guy caught 7 balls for 218 yards and 3 touchdowns. It's not a one game wonder. The week before that, 11 catches, 200 yards and 2 touchdowns. So back-to-back games, over 200 yards and over 2 touchdowns, you know, and they play Maryland this week.
And Maryland's defense is horrible.
Yeah, exactly. And he's only 7.8K. I mean, only that's pretty expensive for a receiver, but there were a couple guys more expensive. So I'm going on Freifogel until I see him, you know, underperform. And as long as he's not in the 8K range and above, then I think he could be still some value here at 7.8K.
I like that play. Not a bad play. All right, I'm going to take you to a guy who hasn't even played this season. But I think there's going to be offense in this game. And actually, I think every other play I have this week is in this game for this slot.
You've been known to load up on games where you think there's going to be a lot of offense. And hey, it definitely paid dividends when you loaded up on that UNC Wake Forest game a few weeks ago.
Yeah. I'm going to take Kady Nixon at Colorado at 4,100. Now I'm going to monitor. He's probable. But this would be his first game, but they're going to need him against USC. And I think this game is going to have a lot of offense. I think USC, when they shifted to the air raid, they've kind of become a kind of weak defensive team. And I think Colorado will have their opportunity. Colorado really skilled at the wideouts. I think they'll have their opportunity to get some points here. And they even run Nixon with jet sweeps and everything from a season ago. So I'm assuming that will still pick up this when he comes back, but at 4,100, I think he's a bargain.
Very interesting. So I'm also on a couple of Colorado Buffaloes this week. So I'm going to tip my hand here and give you my super flex and my flex play, because it is a quarterback wide receiver stack for Colorado. So to get ahead of ourselves, the super flex I have is obviously the quarterback, Sam Neuer. I mean, this guy came out of nowhere and he looks really good.
He played, you know,
and I expect that
he was a safety in dime packages last year. You know, he wasn't a starting safety, but is that not the coolest story in football? Come on.
Yeah, hell yeah, man. I mean, so that means he's a tough dude, you know, and who doesn't love their quarterback to be a tough guy, you know? So his first game starting ever, he put up over 25 fantasy points against UCLA. Then he topped that and put up over 32 against Stanford. I don't trust this USC defense at all. So give me Sam Neuer as my super flex for 7.7K. And my flex, I went real cheap on the Colorado wideout angle. And you've probably heard the last name Chenault before, because he's doing big things in Jacksonville as a rookie. Well, his little bro, Lavonte, is only 3.4K. He had a run-in with the law earlier in the year, I think. Was it a DUI?
A DUI.
Yeah, it's a DUI. He's a young kid, you know.
Happens to us all.
You know. I mean, really, actually today with Uber, you know, yeah. back in the early 2000s, late 90s, when we were drinking and driving, that's because we didn't have the opportunity to call an Uber at any point, you know. So really, they have no excuse nowadays. So, but hey, he's young. He made a mistake. It happens. So last week was his first game playing, and he did catch 3 balls for 60 yards against Stanford. I'm assuming there's something in that Chenault blood. I think this guy is going to be a playmaker also. So, for the very cheap price of 3.4K, I'm going to roll the dice and take a gamble on Lavonte Chenault.
I like him. He even in that Stanford game too, and he even had a drop that would have been like a 40 yarder that almost was a catch. The hardest thing with this Colorado receiving core is they're deep. They're really deep. So like Demetrius Stanley, Kady Nixon, they also have Jerry Rice's son, who's a true freshman that looks really good, and then Chenault. So four capable receivers, but I think Chenault actually is the third. Well, if Nixon plays, which he hasn't this season, I think he'll be lined up. But they run 3 wide receiver sets almost every play, so he's in every play. I'm going to stay in that game. And I know Colorado, being a Buff fan, I know they're banged up in the secondary, right? And if anything, maybe it was a blessing in disguise that the Arizona State game was canceled, but with how banged up they were in the secondary, they're starting walk-ons in the secondary. I don't know if that extra week got Chris Miller healthy, their corner that has been a starter there for a while now since he was a freshman. Hopefully he's healthy, but if not, I mean, as a Buff fan, hopefully he's healthy, but in general, I know that depth is an issue right now for the secondary in Colorado. So I'm going to ride heavy on two USC wide receivers here. So my flex is going to be Amon-Ra St. Brown. And then also my wide receiver, joined with Katie Nixon. I'm going to go with Tyler Vons, both St. Brown and Vons, 19 catches for St. Brown, 18 for Vons. St. Brown's got 266 yards. Vons got 185, but Vons has a score. St. Brown does not. I want a piece of these wideouts, especially like I'm hoping Chris Miller plays that corner for Colorado. But like I said, they've also, even I was telling you that their secondary coach, Brett Maxey, was saying their setbacks are really like with no spring ball and everything. He goes, we're like, we played great. We're 2-0, but he was like, we're like 15% in on what I want to teach them.
So, yeah. And I mean, those USC wideouts are kind of like Colorado's where they're loaded. Cause you mentioned two of the top three guys. They also have Drake London, and I'm not sure, you
Brew know, McCoy too.
Yeah. You know, it's kind of like Colorado where you you never know who's going to have the best game, but it seems like they all have decent, at least decent games every week. So I like the angle of taking two of the guys. Cause I think you're guaranteed decent production from both, and you might hit big on one of them if it happens to be the top receiver that week. All right. So I kind of went out of order there. So I only owe you one more wide receiver, and I'm going to go to a game that we haven't mentioned yet, actually. And that is the Auburn Alabama game. I'm going to not, and Auburn also has a couple decent receivers who have produced. I'm going to go with, what's his name here?
Seth Williams
for 4.5K. I was debating between him and Schwartz. They kind of trade off having good games as well. But Seth Williams has caught, he had 150 yards against Ole Miss. He had 112 yards against Kentucky. Seems like, every, with the exception of one, he's been over 50 yards, and he also has a handful of touchdowns on the season at only 4.5K. My last receiver,
he's a beast, dude.
Seth Williams for and you know, and Bama is kind of like Clemson this year, where it's not the traditional Bama defense. You know, Auburn. I mean, I expect Bama to roll here, but Auburn can still move the ball some and score some points here against Bama.
Yeah, I agree. I've had him. I've put him on my DFS squad a couple times. He's a fucking beast. I think he's going to be a stud in the NFL. My super flex is Keaton Slovis at 7,900, and I'm leaving like $1,000 on the board. So maybe I'll try to get over there and you know, add in somebody. But yeah, I'm leaving it. Slovis, I think, like I said, until I know that Colorado's got their secondary. But even if the Colorado had their full secondary, I think it would be a solid play. But knowing that they're really dinged up at the secondary spot, I think Slovis will have a big game.
Hey, I'm not going to argue with there. I've also had Slovis on my roster a couple of times, and yeah, that USC passing attack is something to be reckoned with. So, well, hey, well done. I like both lineups. I think both have a chance at the money here. It'll be interesting once we get to the night slate where we both kind of dislike our lineups to see exactly why.
Yeah, exactly. But before we get to our night slate, I want to tell you guys that the College Experience Week 13 DFS show is brought to you by Thrive Fantasy. Come prop up on Thrive Fantasy this season. Thrive Fantasy is a daily fantasy sports app for player props. With Thrive, you can eliminate the countless hours of research and focus on only the top tier athletes that have the biggest impact on the game. If it's NFL, you choose 10 of the available 20 player props to build your lineup. If it's PGA, MLB, or esports, you choose 5 of the available 10 player props to build your lineup. Each prop is assigned a fantasy value for both the over and the under based on how likely it is to hit the most props, rack up the most points, win a share of the prize pool. Thrive has over $50,000 in guaranteed prizes weekly and is awarded over $1.6 million in cash prizes. Use the promo code SGP when you sign up today and you'll receive an instant match up to $50 on your first deposit with a 4x rollover. Download Thrive Fantasy on the App Store or Google Play Store or by visiting their website, www.thrivefantasy.com. Sign up and prop up today. Don't forget that promo code SGP. All right. Where are we at here? Nighttime action.
Only 8 games to choose from. So, you know, less selection. But who's your quarterback?
I went out on a, I went with Jeff Sims, the freshman at Georgia Tech.
Wow.
At 6,100. Okay. I don't feel good about that. I don't feel good about it at all. But I'll tell you this, as much as this guy throws interceptions like they're going out of style, he does rush for a lot of yards. So my outlook here, I mean, you look at his stats on the season, 98 of 176 for 1,346 yards, just completing 56% of his passes for 8 yards a pass, 8 touchdowns, 10 picks. That's incredibly scary. But he does have, he does have 300 yards rushing and 4 scores. So like my thing is against Duke, who we know Chase Bryce is out, their quarterback. So I think maybe
they've had lots of injuries on defense also. And I think a couple opt outs. So, you know, yeah, playing against Duke is definitely a favorable matchup.
I didn't know what to do here, man. I mean, I thought about going with somebody else, but I'm like, okay, maybe this guy, even if he gives me 250 yards and 2 interceptions, maybe he'll have two rushing touchdowns and 85 yards or something.
Hey, you know, he's not going to be a very popular pick. So I think you might be, hey, I mean, it's definitely a gamble. You know, he's a true freshman. He's shown flashes of, or glimpses of, you know, promise.
Yeah.
But just, you know, consistency has been a big thing. So, hey man, so roll the dice. We're all gamblers here. I like it. Gamble. All right. So I spent a little bit more on my top quarterback, and that's 7.4K. I went with the Arizona Wildcat gunslinger, Grant Gunnell.
Yeah.
He's been pretty good this year, man. He's, you know, played in 2 games. He's, you know, been, over or right at about 20 fantasy points. Last week playing at Washington against a tough defense, he stole through for, 260 yards and 3 touchdowns.
Well, you know what saved you there? If you had him last week, was that Washington was up 44-0 and pulled their starters. So they added 27 points late. And that was a lot to them playing the second string team. But yeah, I do think he's been good. Yeah. Sorry, continue. I didn't mean to cut you off.
Yeah. You know, and, or, you know, against USC, he threw for 286 and 3 touchdowns. So he's had back-to-back games with 3 touchdowns. They play UCLA this week. UCLA is solid, but you know, they're the UCLA defense isn't scaring anybody, I don't think. So I think Grant Gunnell has a decent chance to have a quality game again.
Yeah. Okay. I like that play. I like it. Who are you going with that running back?
All right. My two running backs are both ACC guys. And one guy, I've mentioned him ad nauseum this year because I think he's one of the best running backs in the country. And he's a little underappreciated or undervalued. His price tag went up a little bit this year. That is this week. That is Isaiah Spiller at Texas A&M for 7.1K. Playing LSU this week. I think the Texas A&M ground game is going to be in store for a nice little afternoon, and Spiller is the main man there. And I'm pairing him up with another guy who I've rostered a couple times, and he didn't do great for me last year, last week. I keep on saying year instead of week, but that is Zamir White, Georgia Bulldogs.
Ding, 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 ding.
It's all about the matchup here, right? I mean, against South Carolina, you know, the coach has fired a bunch of guys, opted out or have quit, you know.
Well, also,
they pretty much quit on this year.
Also, how about this angle, dude? I mean, we knew, I tried, Mississippi State has one of the best run defenses in the country. And all of a sudden, JT Daniels is throwing the ball. He threw for 400 yards that were a quarterback hadn't thrown it for 400 yards at Georgia in a long, since like fucking Fran Tarkenton or something. You know what I mean? Like it had been a long time since they had, I think it was like Aaron Murray actually, but now that you can open up the, like, I think Zamir White's problem earlier in the year was that everyone knew that they couldn't throw. You know what I mean? Like they're like, oh, Stetson Bennett's horrible. We'll just load the box. Well, now with JT Daniels playing, they're going to be able to throw. And I think it's going to open up this whole entire offense. I love that play. 6,100. Give me Zamir White as well. My other running back, cause you've named both of yours. I don't trust that Arizona Wildcat defense. I do think Chip Kelly is turning a corner, and I'll be honest. I think, you know, this year is tough because I know they're battling COVID, but I think UCLA could be a good team next year. I've been really impressed with their development over the past two games. And Demetric Felton's a big part of that. 69 rushes, 331 yards, 3 touchdowns, getting 5 yards a rush. He also has 12 catches. He's our third. He's our second leading receiver receptions wise on that team. So I'm all over Dimitri Felton against the Wildcats.
I like it. I like it. All right, man. Shall we jump to wide receivers?
Yes, yes, yes. Let's do it. Actually, I'll keep it right here just because I'm in the same game.
Go for it.
Kyle Phillips, the guy, he's been the bread and butter of this offense the past couple of years, even though I know their offense hasn't been great. He's been their guy. He's their leading receiver. And he had that huge drop against Oregon that potentially could have won him the game or sent the game in the overtime. I think he's kicking himself for that. And now they get an opportunity where they're playing Arizona. Give me Kyle Phillips. I think he's underpriced a little bit, 5,700. So
we share a guy there. He is my most expensive receiver. And yeah, he started this year off a little slow the first couple of games, but against Oregon, he caught 8 balls for 91 yards. I expect another good game against Arizona. You mentioned you're not a big fan of that Arizona defense, and UCLA offense is starting to get things into gear. So yeah, I like Kyle Phillips as well. He is my wide receiver one.
Well, another reason, man, and this it's interesting here. Dorian Thompson Robinson's a stud, and he's out with COVID, second straight week, but he's kind of a run first quarterback. Whereas Chase Griffin, the backup, kind of sits back in that pocket a little bit more, throws, you know. So and Griffin completing against Oregon, who has some really good defenders, completed a much higher percentage passing the ball. So it's going to be interesting to watch Chase Griffin. I thought he played a good game for a guy who just got the start at the last second, but he played a really good game. I think he's a better passer than Dorian Thompson Robinson. So I think Phillips will have a big game there. So, all right, give me, so is it on me then? For actually, I'll keep you in the same, the same game. And, I'm going to go over to, your boy, Grant Gunnell's side of things and take you to, this wide receiver, Barry Hill, from Arizona. I'm trying to remember what his first name is. I'm drawing a blank right now.
Spencer, I believe.
I think, is it Spencer? No.
Let me pull it up.
Stanley.
No, am I off?
Stanley. This guy is their number one option. Stanley Berryhill the third, might I add, 13 catches, 135 yards, 3 touchdowns. The closest receiver on this, but after this is 7. So he's almost double more than what the other receiver is. So give me Stanley Berryhill at 5,600. I think it's a bargain play.
Okay. Yeah. You know, I really, for me, it came down to Phillips or Berryhill for my top receiver, and they were $100 of each other. So I went back and forth there, ended up going Phillips. Kind of funny, same game too, you know, and we mentioned both players. So yeah, interesting. I expected a good game from both of them. But my second receiver, I didn't have enough money to get both of them in here. So I went back down to A&M. You know, I haven't mentioned a tight end yet. I've given you two lineups, no tight end yet. I got to get at least one tight end here, right?
We play this guy every week, I think, me and you.
Jalen Weidermeier.
He's a stud, dude. And well, he's undervalued, and you know who leads this? This is why they might be an outlier, this team, A&M. You know who their leading receiver is?
Probably Weidermeier.
He has the most receptions.
Okay. Yeah.
He's got 28 receptions, but their leading receiver is actually their backup running back. at 26. Smith? Yeah. He's got 26 receptions. Weidermeier and Smith are the top two receivers on this team. And Smith only has one more yard than Weidermeier. So that's the only reason why, but I find that when you look and I was heavy on LSU this week, plus the 14.5, just because I think that's going to catch up to them at some point. They have really bad wideouts.
That's too many points. I mean, that's probably due to Kellen Mond not being able to, you know, get the ball downfield, which is perfect if you're rostering their tight end, you know, I think there's going to be some points in this A&M LSU game. And Weidermeier has 2 touchdowns in 2 consecutive games. So he's finding the end zone.
I think he's his favorite target. I mean, no, he is, but he has the most receptions. So 28, he is his favorite target. And I think he's a stud. I think he's going to be in the NFL. So, I have that same play. I have that same
4.8 K all day. So I'm on my third wideout then. Yeah. So I'm going to go to back to Georgia, back to the Bulldogs, and take a guy who missed a few weeks with an injury. That's George Pickens for 4.5K. Just returned last week against Mississippi State and caught 8 balls for 87 yards and a touchdown. I think he is the number one receiver there, even though there's a more expensive Bulldog at receiver, who wasn't injured this year. So, we mentioned Georgia being able to pass the ball a whole lot better now, and we mentioned fading this Gamecock defense, and all signs point towards George Pickens having a very nice game at only 4.5K.
That's funny you mentioned that, because I have one of the other receivers, and all of a sudden, once JT Daniels gets back there, you're like, whoa. Let me take some of these highly recruited wideouts that are probably studs that have been sitting there not being able to perform because of JT Dan or because of Stetson Bennett. I'm going to go with Kyaris Jackson, 31 catches, 451 yards, 3 touchdowns. I do think Pickens is a stud too. I think even you can't even go wrong if you wanted to go Jermaine Burton. To me, any of them I think work. So yeah, that's my flex is Kyaris Jackson.
Yeah, Jackson was the name that was escaping me when I mentioned the more expensive receiver. What was he in, like the low fives?
Yeah, he was 5,400.
Yeah, he's had a nice year. He should have a good game too. There's enough balls for both of these receivers to have good games. Do you owe me one more wide receiver?
No, I gave you Phillips, Barry Hill, Widemeyer. And then Jackson at my flex. So I only have one more player left on my roster. So I think it's your go.
All right. So my flex, I'm going to stay in that same LSU Texas A&M game, but go with the Tiger this time. And that is the running back Tyrion Davis Price for 5.8K. Like I said, there's going to be offense in this game, and it would make sense to get, some offense on both sides of the field. And this guy, I think, has taken control of the backfield. 2 out of the last 3 games, he's been over 100 yards and a touchdown, and he's gotten 20 plus carries in 2 of those 3 games. So I think he'll have a little bit of running room against the Aggies. I hope he finds the end zone once or twice. I think Davis Price can have a decent game at 5.8K.
Yeah. I like that play. Okay. Before I get to my super flex, I want to tell you guys that the College Experience DFS week 13 lineups episode is brought to you by Ace Per Head. You ever thought about starting your own sports book, but don't know how? Well, guess what? Ace Per Head is here to help you start your own sports book. They'll provide you with an all-inclusive professional betting site with all the lines updated to the second and wagers graded immediately. They have top-notch customer support going 24/7 and some of the sharpest lines in the industry. Plus, Ace Per Head offers live betting and an amazing mobile experience. Get started today, and Ace is offering up to 6 weeks for free. Just go to aceperhead.com/SGP. That's aceperhead.com/SGP. All right. Well, now we're at the Superflex spot, right? Both of us?
Yes, sir. Who you got, man?
I'm going to take a shot on Chase Griffin. Let me explain myself. Chase Griffin is the quarterback that is starting at UCLA. Now, just last week, he was 19 of 31, just shy of 200 yards, 61% completion percentage, only one touchdown and 2 picks, but he also did some damage on the ground. But I think he got more comfortable as that game went along. And he also was playing Oregon's defense. Just in case you didn't know, Oregon has a couple first round picks on that defense. And I think some of those interceptions are an outlier. I mean, one of them was right before the half. I don't know if you caught this game, Nick, but UCLA is attempting to throw a Hail Mary, and they actually lost by this play, essentially, right? They're trying to throw a Hail Mary with 2 seconds left before the half. They go to throw it, and as he throws it, a defensive end hits the quarterback, so the ball goes up about 10 yards in the air. The linebacker for Oregon intercepts it, takes it back to the house, and essentially Oregon wins by that score.
Wow.
But my point is that the stats don't represent how well he played, in my opinion. So
gotcha.
I think Chase Griffin's the play here. I think Arizona's defense is much worse than Oregon's. So give me, and it's another week, and he knows he's starting. People last week, he didn't know he was starting until like an hour before the game.
I will say that you pick 2 quarterbacks on this roster that will not, they'll have very low percentages of people that are rostering this week. So I think you will either finish first or last.
I told you I didn't
like the night slate.
I didn't like the night slate, but
sometimes it's good to go against against the grain. You've definitely done that here.
Well, I feel much better about Griffin than Sims.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, you know, Griffin was 7.7K. So it's not like he's a, you know, bottom bin, you know, bottom of the barrel cheap dude. So yeah, he should have a nice game. I went to a guy who I mentioned him a few weeks ago, you know, Dabo Sweeney says it reminds him of a young Steve Young. Oh. He's the lefty quarterback for the UVA Cavaliers, Brennan Armstrong for 8.3K. Going up against a Florida State team who has kind of packed it in for the year. They're just building for future years. They're starting a bunch of playing a bunch of freshmen, a bunch of sophomores, but a bunch of young guys. So UVA offense should have a really nice game against Florida State. I mean, who isn't these days? And Brennan Armstrong gets points on the ground, through the air, you name it. I love Brennan Armstrong this week.
Yeah, he's a fun quarterback to watch. I like him moving forward. He's young, but yeah, I mean, all of the opt outs on Florida State's defense. They still have Asante Samuel Jr., so watch out for him. But I agree. That's a solid play. Solid play. I don't like my night lineup too much, but that's why I will win a lot of money on that. Anywho. All right, guys, this is the College Experience week 13 DFS lineup. Come play DFS with us. Check us out on Twitter at or just sportsgamblingpodcast.com as well. But Twitter, I'm at the Colby D. NC Nick is at NC_NICK. We put out an invitation so anyone can join. Come play DraftKings with us. Have some fun, kick back, have a drink. Happy Thanksgiving, people. I want to say thank you to every listener out there, because we really appreciate it, man. And me specifically, as a guy who, you know, was doing stand up and everything, there's been one thing left to help me pay my bills, and that's been this show. So I sincerely appreciate everyone listening to this show, and please subscribe, wait. And if you can, if you're really swift, because we don't charge for picks, we won't charge for picks. Give us a 5-star review on iTunes and say some nice things about us. If you do, take a screenshot, tag me at the Colby D on Twitter, and I'll enter you in a raffle where you're guaranteed to win a College Experience t-shirt. I'll send it out to you. So yeah, at the Colby D on Twitter, NC Nick's at NC_NICK, and Patty C, who makes the picks with us too, he's on Twitter at Patty C831. Make sure you check out all of our college football and college basketball picks. We handicap every single Division One game, release a spreadsheet over at sportsgamblingpodcast.com, and also on our Twitter accounts. We are part of the Sports Gambling Podcast there on Twitter at the SGP Network. And all right, this is the College Experience week 13 DFS picks. Happy Thanksgiving, guys. Have a great Black Friday and have a great holidays. Much love, and we out.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.